This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
1720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my hard-earned freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
Hey, Jen DeSalvo, before you go...
What's
because
up,
we're
Ms.
not
Patty?
We're not leaving this topic. Okay. Apparently, we opened the door, and we opened the stall door. Apparently, joining me in studio, Scott Stantis. I'll leave Dan and Sanj out of this particular conversation. We were talking about whether you hover or if you take care of the situation before you sit down or So the 773 actually. I just got rid of this product that this listener's texting about because I just couldn't imagine. Anyway, hey, a woman came up with the idea for a V cup. It's basically a funnel to put up against your private part, so you never have to turn around and sit on the toilet. All you have to do is walk in. I got it.
It gets rid of that pesky penis envy.
You put it up against, this is a very long explanation of what it is. Anyway, I had it, and there was just no way. I did try this, and it's fine. But then I already got one cup in my purse. I have a Diva cup, which we're not going to go into any explanations of that right now. Maybe some other evening. But that I do like. But this situation, because then you have to, there's a cleaning process. I mean, maybe it's just, no. It's because it's not that small. It's like, it's about, altogether, it's like about, like, I would say 4 inches long.
Uh-huh.
And then with the funnel to the tip, I would say it's probably, altogether, it's that way, it's probably another 5 inches.
This has been suggested to me before because, you know, I go out into the middle of the woods and run for like 50, 100 miles at a time.
How are you supposed to carry that along? And it's pretty thick, too. Mm-hmm. It's, oh my God, this is all going out of context.
But I mean, if you're in the middle of the woods, you're already gross out there. So what does it matter carrying one of these?
Yeah.
So,
No, there was an article like in USA Today or one of these papers because they've got three people on staff and they have to write stupid stuff. And one of them was literally talked about, do you know how many germs you get if you don't wipe down the seat? And I think it was like seats of death or some kind of, you know.
Yeah, well, Penn and Teller did a whole episode of how it's really not that big a deal to sit on someone else's,
right? It's like
splatter.
Can eat off of a toilet seat and receive less germs, I think it is, than opening up a doorknob. Like putting your hand on the doorknob is the worst possible thing for you to do, but you know, eating off of a toilet seat is fine.
So should you find yourself without some place to dine,
honey, the tables are taken, but the number for a stall.
When the world blows up and we're all throwing stuff at each other, just remember, hey, if I need to sit down and have a meal, I can use this toilet.
Yep. I don't know where I would use that audio clip, but I feel like I should keep that. I feel like I need to mark that and use it somewhere.
You'll use it after the apocalypse.
I mean, and by the way, now we're going to get like texts after texts about other things that are dirty, because I know that it's actually movie theater seats are not great.
Oh,
airplane
seats, but also the handrail on an escalator.
When I first moved here, do you remember? I bet you remember the story. Then this guy on a bet licked the length of the handrail or the thing going on the escalator at one of the L stops.
Gross.
And the guy that they talked to a doctor and they said, well, that was really bad. And he said he would have been better off if he'd licked the stairs.
Oh.
Because the amount of germs and stuff on the rails. So just as a public service, let us just say, if you must touch the railing, please wear a condom.
Oh.
Or just, you know, carry hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Or don't lick the damn railing.
I'll be honest. I'm a little, when it comes to hands and touching and sharing, I'm very off put by it for one very simple reason. I have been in several situations where I'm coming out of the bathroom and I'm washing my hands, and I'm very diligent about making sure that I'm fully washing my hands.
Do you sing Happy Birthday?
My wrist.
Happy Birthday.
I do.
Me.
Okay.
I do ABC.
Do you really?
Thanks, Ms. Yes. I had a cooking teacher back in high school who taught us that, and I've done it ever since. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you tell us your teacher's name. You were about to.
Yes. Ms. I'm going to say this so wrong. Belasiotis.
Okay.
That's all.
Hey, you're talking to the queen of not saying people's names right.
But no, I've come out of the bathroom and will watch somebody literally come in, put like a tiny, less than a dime size of soap in their hand. Don't rub their hands together. Just run their hands on the water.
For
and walk
show?
Off.
They're trying to prove.
Or the women that walk out fix their hair, don't even wash their hands, and then walk out of the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, you have to shame those people.
Oh, I shame them with my eyes.
I like to say the most dangerous surfaces are hands.
How about you give great shade, Jen DeSalvo?
I have this problem with my face. I can't control it.
I have this problem with my thoughts. I can't keep them to myself.
Yeah, you know, it's not a great thing if you're on TV part of the time. It's like, maybe I should fix my face here.
Do you roll your eyes? Are you an eye roll? I roll my eyes so much.
No, I have this, are you blanking kidding me look. I remember about a decade ago, they put me on split shifts at one of the radio stations I worked at. And I sat there just looking at the news director and she goes, you're doing the face. And I said, I'm so sorry. I can't control it. She's like, we're going to work on that. And here we are a decade later.
You're doing the face.
I'm doing the face. It was a thing. Everybody knew I had it. So.
Do men get this? 312-981-7200. We're going to do a segment in a little bit called I Gotta Know. But right now, I gotta know. Do men get the... Because women are, you know, they have this whole slew of photos of resting bitch face. Mm-hmm. And they talk about it. Do men are all... You guys
I
also?
Get it. Since I got older, I get a lot of, are you okay?
Like, well, no, that's because of...
Because of what?
I don't know. I couldn't find the punchline.
No, I scowl, especially when I'm thinking of an idea for a cartoon. And I'll just stare into nothingness and scowl. And people go, are you okay?
See, I think we all have a thing.
Yeah.
We all have a thing.
But are you in your own head when that happens?
Yes.
Because I'm in my own head a lot of times. And it's like nothing personal to the people around me. I'm so sorry that I'm not paying attention to you. I'm up there.
Yeah, it's not you. I'm really don't even know you're in the room.
Which
weirdly doesn't assuage any of their like animosity. It's weird.
I've been doing this thing. Well, actually, last night was the first night Griffin realized that I disappear emotionally at about 15 minutes before I have to leave the house. We were trying to watch something, and I went, whew. And he goes, what? And I go, oh, I just realized I wasn't breathing because I was thinking about what we were going to do on the show. And I was like, oh, I should probably let that out.
Yep.
Oh, I'm getting lightheaded. And Steve says he's known this since we started dating. He calls it going in the show mode. Even when I go on, when I'm about to do stand-up comedy, when I start thinking about my set. But I disappear. So I don't know what my face looks like. I'm not going to check.
No, don't.
But women get, I think a lot of people get, you know, why aren't you smiling? What's wrong? Do you ever get that road? Does anybody?
All the time. You know what's funny? I'll get people who will have a full-blown conversation with me. I'll be smiling, laughing, and everything else. And the moment the conversation is over, the next question is, are you okay? Did I do something?
They think you're mad at them?
Yeah, like, no. No.
I need a shirt that says, my face isn't about you.
I like that.
Do you like that? My shirt, my face isn't about you. Whatever it is, my face is not about you.
Story of my life.
Right?
Sign me up for 10.
All right. 312-981-7200. Text me if you would buy that shirt. My face is not about... I have to hurry up now, right?
Yeah.
I have
to... Copyright.
You got to get it custom made.
I keep
C-circle.
What would that... Would you do a graphic for that?
What would it be?
What would it be?
No, I think the words are better than a visual.
Yeah, you just need just the words. Yeah.
Just the words?
Just the words. Mm-hmm.
Just a quote. Get and then it says Patty Vasquez.
Vasquez. Circa 2019.
Oh my gosh, this has been a lot of fun. By the way, the 815 says, good evening. Along with your conversation, no matter how good the hand soap smells in a restroom, never smell your hands when walking out.
Yeah. Wow. I would bet that sends a signal that you don't want to send. Yeah,
anytime you do this, people want to know where it was last.
Yes, exactly. Don't point that thing at me. You don't know where it's been.
Does it smell bad to you? Well, where was it last? Well, I just want to know if it smells bad.
The other one. What does it smell like to you?
Do you by any chance have an obsessive relationship with hand sanitizer? Because I have a bottle in every room of my house.
No.
And my hands look like I'm 86.
You need a bottle. You need a bottle. It's because it's drying.
Uh-huh.
You need a bottle. I'm just explaining for anybody else who's like, what? Lotion. Let's put a bottle of lotion next to that. You need hand sanitizing lotion.
I do.
How is that not a thing yet?
Well, they tried to make it a thing at Bath & Body Works, but I think they discontinued all of them.
Mm. I think people are just skeptical and just like, I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I actually talked to some doctors about that stuff. Does it really work? And says, well, it's better than not doing it.
Yeah. I mean, when you're putting straight alcohol on your hands, yeah. it's killing something.
Somebody, well, I know that whenever...
Patty's doing it now.
No, I was just looking at the bottle. It's empty. I don't know who... I know that Andrea, when we were working together, she would come in and wipe everything down. And so does Roger Badish. Roger Badish washes, like, wipes down the entire news station. So just so you know, Jen, that station gets wiped down every Friday and Saturday night,
That's
maybe Sunday night too.
Great. Anybody who works after me, hint Vic, needs to be wiping this down.
Yeah, and I have one. I'm guessing there are listeners who have heard the wipe down conversation many times. It just happens because you'll be watching a coworker. I mean, and Andrea would have her mic on, like wiping down the microphone. I'm like, let me turn that off before we get started.
Oh, I remember. I was on one time. You hear.
Yeah. You'd hear this. And you're like, we're not starting yet. Okay. I lost my mic cover.
It's like someone just has a crystal set and they're sending out, and they're trapped in a basement sending out a message.
Yeah. Well, I think Anna DeVlantes wipes it down too. I think.
All these super clean ladies.
By the way, the 408 says, Patty, I love it. I got to have my face is not about you shirt story of my life. Yes! We got one sale. I've been told that sometimes I project a wall around me sometimes. Yeah. Mm. Well,
that's not a bad thing.
You know what? My husband would love that because my husband... Okay, we gotta take a break. Jen, we got to let you... You have to continue your life because you get up early.
Yes.
We love you.
I'm going to go cuddle with my puppy, but I will continue to listen, and then I will be on the other side of the text messages.
Should be texting. I will. When will we see you next?
Tomorrow. Wait. Are you?
No, tomorrow's Friday.
Yeah, tomorrow's Friday.
It's all right.
Next Monday. I'll be back all next week.
On Memorial Day, too?
Yes.
We should bring leftovers from any barbecues you go to. I think that's what we'll do.
Gosh, my life is so...
You don't have to. I might not have any.
I can order out.
Well, we could too. You know, maybe we'll order Grubhub on Monday.
Let's just go to Famous Dave's. Boom.
Oh, Famous Dave's would be good. All right,
we need barbecue.
Well, yes, we do. All right, we'll figure it out.
Awesome.
Have a lovely evening. Be safe, and we will see you on Monday.
Bye, folks.
Bye-bye. And the 309 says, oh, no, at work, sometimes my face is all about you. I cannot hide my feelings. We'll have to make two shirts now. More after this on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Some good music from Ro. I love it. See, the thing is, whenever there's good music, it's hard to get the show started again because I just want to dance and just...
We need to get a Facebook Live going in here.
We do. I was told we need to schedule it. Like, I don't know what that means, but you know, Steve Cochran's show does it every morning. I don't know what the and the cameras. I think it's that camera over there. We'll figure it out. We'll talk to Todd and see if we can get some Facebook Live.
So they can see you dancing live.
A little dance party.
I dress up and shave and stuff.
You're live streaming right now, Scott.
I know, but not the same as Facebook.
Do you like really cool looking cars?
Oh, gosh. I love it. My dad was a car fanatic.
Oh, really?
Yes. He actually refurbished an Avanti, too.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
But these guys do.
Well, joining us in the studio are the president and vice president of Lotus Corps. You can go to lotuscorps.org and find out more about the events they have coming up. And tonight they're here to tell us about the Lotus Corps 17th Annual Carl Grabowski Driver's Education Day. And it's going to be Monday, June 3rd. It's at Black Hawk Farms Raceway in South Beloit. There's a South Beloit, Illinois? I did not know that. 15538 Prairie Road. And the gates are going to open at 7 a.m. And they're here to tell us about it. And do you know what an Avante is?
Hi, Dan. I do, actually. Hello.
Dan Zielkowski.
Yes.
So look at that. Very excited. Hi, Sanj. Thank you for not testing me.
Exactly.
Well, I've known you much less. I mean, I've known you about probably 15 years.
Could be.
15? Yeah. I've known Dan since I was 16 years old, and we won't say how long ago that was. It's our little secret. Yeah,
16,
hi, Dan.
16 years ago.
And so, Ro, to, you know, the how I get stuck on people's names sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
I have known Dan for more than half of my life. And until last year, I did not know how to say his last name. Since I was 16 years old, I just called him Dan Z.
Wait, pronounce it again?
Zielkowski.
Very good.
So you have it written down in front of you. If you were to just say it, would you have said Zielkowski?
No.
See?
Uh-huh. I honestly was sitting here now like Zielkowski. I would have got the N right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's usually what most people say. So. Yeah.
And Sanj is like, just say Sanj. We don't need to play this game. Well, Dan, you, I'm trying to remember because I, you know, So why we hung out at Laser Zone, and the, so the cars that I grew up with, and this will show you how old I am, was it, did Jeff drive a Trans Am, the manager of the Laser Zone where I worked at?
So and then Lauren had the Porsche 914, mm-hmm. I think is what it
there,
is.
There were a lot of cars around us when we were kids, and Joel had a Corvette. His dad had a Corvette, a purple Corvette.
Yes.
That's not why I went to prom with him. I went to prom with a friend. But there were a lot of cars. Mm-hmm. When did you start getting involved and interested in cars? Because I'm trying to remember what you drove, and I can't see it. What did you drive in high school?
Actually, during my high school years, I had a lot of accidents, so I went through plenty of cars, actually.
So did Ken. Ken put his face through a windshield. I remember he had, like, shards of glass in his forehead.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I had a lot of friends that had cars. Anyway, yes.
So I had a Ford Mustang, Mustang 2. I had a Subaru.
The Subaru, I remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. What car did you use when you and Phil used to track me down at the Gap and...
Please don't make that sound stalkerish.
it was funny. I had a car that you could open with any key, and they would leave gifts for me and stuff. Like one time, Phil left a Fozzie Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And we remember your car actually got broken into, and we bought a radio and replaced it.
That's right. And I could play George Carlin tapes.
Yes.
You ruined my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I started listening to stand-up comedy. I had the in-dash, I think whatever the maker, it was a Toyota.
Right.
And that I don't know why anyone would even steal that. I guess because it was a 76 Toyota Corolla. Somebody really needed that radio.
Right.
So you guys bought me a tape player.
Yeah.
And then
why didn't we have friends like Dan when we were
young? Ken, and Phil. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And sometimes Joel.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you worked with Joel, so you saw him there.
Yeah.
So.
I worked at the Laser Zone on Northwest Highway in Norwood Park, which we're going to talk more about later, by the way, Norwood Park, which we might. But now, so you had a Ford, you had a Mustang, you had two Mustangs?
I actually had two Mustangs, that's right. I had a Mustang, then a Subaru, then a Mustang, then I had a Ford Escort. I had a Ford Escort EXP.
Ooh.
That was the two-seater that didn't have the back seat. Behind it, but you could sit back there. It sort of had like a ledge you could sit on. So,
you had a lot of cars.
I did.
And how many did you total?
Those first ones that I named, pretty much all of those.
All of them.
Yeah,
I've totaled two.
Yeah,
it's not something you want to. I know we don't have a record.
And it's not something I want to brag about either. I've done much better since then. So
I believe you because now you're driving much more. We'll talk about the Lotuses in a minute.
Yes.
Sanj, when did you? What kind of cars did you have growing up?
My first car was a '68 Camaro.
Oh,
nice.
Then I had a Skokie police car.
What?
Did the Skokie Police Department know this?
They had sold it.
Did you get like a police auction?
I bought it from a guy that got it from an auction.
From a guy.
Was it a Crown Vic or?
No, it was way back when. This was a.
Yeah, what were
Plymouth
they?
Plymouth Satellite.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was
big
a. He's making
cubic,
things up now.
Yeah, now he's just putting words
it had
together.
A working spotlight and everything. I used to pull my friends over.
Did he buy it because he thought he loved the Blues Brothers? And he's like, I need to
something
do that
like
too.
That. Did it was fun.
That is great. How did you like that car?
It was cool.
Was it one of those ones with you had to, when you made a left turn and then you had to let it spin all the way back?
No, it was just a regular car.
Oh, really? Because my Crown Vic was like my dad's Crown Vic.
Oh,
was
did
like,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad had a Ford LTD. Remember the ones with the headlight covers would lift up?
Yeah.
But then a lot of them would get stuck. And so it looked like I was winking at you, like the car just.
Oh, that's cute.
It's very sweet.
Did it have a Landau roof?
Wait, a what?
Landau, the fake leatherette type.
No.
Crap rotted within 3 weeks of owning the Mustang.
You know, I was listening to Nick D's show one night, and he was talking to Tom Appel about that cover that when you have an older car and that like fabric that would start to droop. Remember, you'd have
the headliner.
The headliner. That's what they were calling it.
Yes.
And I forgot about the headliner. You know, and you'd have like it was the roof would start getting closer and closer to you.
And it'd be all dusty.
Just like figure out, and you'd see people that had tried to figure out different solutions, like stapling it up or using putting glue through the fabric to get. I'm sorry.
No.
We're talking cars.
Yes.
So the Skokie police car.
Yeah, and then I got a 72 El Camino,
mm-hmm.
4-speed. That was a monster.
Yeah,
called
nice.
It Godzilla.
Wow.
That was like a 4. What was it under the hood? 450, something like that.
That was a 460.
Yeah, that thing was fast.
Wow, never. I never.
It was scary too.
Really? Why was it scary?
Every time you shifted gears, it would go off in a different direction.
That seems
at full throttle.
It was a different world.
That seems like opposing needs when you're trying to get somewhere. I'm
trying to go straight.
Yeah, I would imagine it's a problem.
Straight is for suckers. That car had great throat, though. That
did. Yeah. Did you say great throat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what you say? Your car has great throat?
Well, that's what Scott says.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I've heard.
Scott says. Yeah. There it is.
I'm a cartoonist. I know cars.
Let's take a break and find out more about LotusCore.org. You can go to LotusCore.org to find out more about Lotus. There are going to be a lot of people who aren't familiar with this type of car. So we're going to learn more about this and how you guys got involved. And again, the Lotus Core 17th Annual Carl Grabowski Driver's Education Day is on Monday, June 3rd. And it's going to be at the Blackhawk Farms Raceway in South Beloit, Illinois. We're going to talk more about how they're going to have classroom instructions. They have for all levels. They've got intermediate drivers, advanced driving classes. They've got driving sessions and all kinds of fun. So we're going to talk about that when we come back on 720 WGN. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show, 773-49. Oh, that's my number.
Wow.
312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. More after this. Where am I? Oh, it's a Patty Vasquez Show. Listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's funny. Are there certain people in your life that just make you one tap into your youth and just make you happy?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Sanj. Sanj is like, I know you're talking about, you know what I'm talking about, Dan. Sanj, I've met you later, a little bit later in life as part of, because you and Dan Zielkowski. Nope, I didn't get it. Zielkowski. Yeah. Zielkowski.
There you go.
See? I've known him since I was 16 years old.
One day.
Still
we'll get it together
Zielkowski.
One day.
Yeah. See?
Zielkowski.
I just want people to come in here who I've met for the first time, that if I get your name right, that is a miracle.
What song was playing when you guys met?
Dan Z is the president of Lotus Core, and Sanj is the vice president. They have an event they want to tell you about coming up on June 3rd. It's Lotus Core's 17th annual Carl Grabowski Driver's Education Day, and it's going to be at the Blackhawk Farms Raceway in South Beloit. That's in Illinois. I did not realize there was a South Beloit. I learned so much tonight. And tell us a little bit about how, Sanj, tell us how you got involved with Lotus Core.
I bought a Lotus.
You bought a Lotus? So does it come with the car? Here's your membership to the Lotus Corps.
When you buy a Lotus, you have to find fellow Lotus owners to help you keep your Lotus running. So
I never heard of a Lotus until I think I was at one. I honestly think I was at one of your barbecues. Mm-hmm. And you had, was it a yellow one in the garage? Have you had a yellow
one? No, mine is red. His is the yellow one.
Oh, yours is the yellow one. Yeah. So I think that was the first one I ever saw, that I learned that it was a Lotus. It's a very cool car. I don't know anything about it. I would have thought it was a, what do people think generally, like a Lamborghini? What do they think it is?
Most people will sometimes also ask what kind of car is that, and you say Lotus, and they go, who makes that? And it's like, no, it's, you know,
and then you say the British.
Yeah.
You still never told me what an Avante was. I don't know what that is. No one ever.
It's a Studebaker came out with this great car. It was all fiberglass, the body, and they sold a gajillion of them before they had actually made them. And so people's orders were continually late, or they just said, to hell with it, I want my money back or something. But it became a bit of a collector's item because they made very few of them before they went bankrupt. It was the last car Studebaker ever made.
Was that before or after the Edsel? And why was the Edsel such a bad
Ford.
Idea? It was a Ford?
Yeah. Edsel was actually named after Ford's son.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So two tragedies. A, the car was sucked, and his son was named Edsel.
Didn't it have like a weird design on the grill?
Yeah.
That people thought it looked like a woman's body part?
Yeah, to this day.
Mm-hmm.
It still does.
I look like a diva cup. So the Lotus is a British car.
Yes.
I did not know that till tonight, and I know that you've been I don't even know how to explain it, because I know that there are people who are in Corvette clubs, and there are obviously they're the Mazda Miatas. They seem very proud of their cars.
Yes.
I'm fascinated by, first of all, these are not cheap cars, right?
Well, so when I bought my Lotus, one of the things that made me buy it is I you know, I liked exotic cars, mm-hmm. and really at the end of the day, they're like the poor man's exotic car. So when you're talking about the super exotic cars, your Lamborghinis and Ferraris, those are still very costly, even when they're old. So when I was looking for mine, I bought mine in 2000. It was 5 years old. And, you know, I'll tell you, it was $37,000. So cheap for, you know, a five-year-old exotic car. Some people were saying, well, why didn't you get a Ferrari? Because a five-year-old Ferrari still is like $125,000. So,
oh my God. Yeah.
You know, in the grand scheme of things, they are a much cheaper exotic car to get into. So, and then when I bought it, I figured, well, I want to go hang out with other people that own Lotuses. So I Googled, you know, is there a Lotus Club? I knew because Ken had a Corvette and I knew there was a Corvette Club. And one of the things I knew about it was for the Corvette Club, you had to own a Corvette to be in it.
Okay.
You couldn't just, you know, join the club because you like Corvettes. You had to own one. So once I owned a Lotus, I'm like, well, I'm going to go see if there's a Lotus Club out there. And I found them on the internet, found out they had monthly meetings. So just showed up one day. And actually, Sanj, believe it or not, Sanj doesn't remember it, but Sanj was the first person I met, you know, for the Aww. For the meeting. So, and we've been friends since 2000.
Since 2000. So it has yeah. been, it's been 19 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Mind blown. That's incredible. And, yeah. and Sanj, what you decided you wanted to try something different than because you'd had
yeah,
some
it was
pretty
a similar
cool cars.
Thing. You know, I first saw Lotus in a James Bond movie many years ago. So
which
yeah.
which movie is it in?
The Spy Who Loved Me.
Oh,
yeah,
see
the one that he drives out of the water, the submarine car.
Oh, I didn't see. Yeah. There you go. Now people are getting an image. Now people are like, oh yeah, I remember right. that
well,
car.
So you remember that? And then,
yes.
Like Dan, I started looking at classifieds. I was. You know, I didn't need a car, but I figured something fun, and they seemed cheap. Oh, I can buy one. I can afford that. You know, I probably paid less than he did. Mine's a little older, but, you know.
Someone yeah. wants to, oh, yeah, by the way, someone just texted in. Hi, Paul. Wasn't a Lotus featured in one of the James Bond films? By the way, we have a segment called Patty's Appalling Lack of Musical Knowledge, which you've heard, apparently. Did you know that about me?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Have you heard the shows where people just cannot believe it? And you're like, oh, if you only
yes.
knew.
Yes.
My brain. We'll talk about that later. But and also a Lotus in Taking Care of Business with Jim Belushi.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I don't remember.
Yeah.
Pretty Woman was another one. Very famous.
Yeah.
Richard
yeah.
Gere drove that car off
famous
badly.
Lotuses.
Yeah.
Is a plural of Lotus Lotuses?
People usually say low-tie.
I thought so. Yeah. I thought yeah. that might be the case.
The funny thing about the Taking Care of Business appearance is that he goes out and he sees it in the garage, and it's on four drive-up ramps.
Okay.
So if you imagine how drive-up ramps work, there's no way you could have all four wheels on the drive-ups because you couldn't. They would have to place the car on top of the ramps. You can't drive up on drive-up ramps with all four of them in the same spot.
I don't know what he's saying.
Oh, I get it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, drive-up ramps are angled
angled
and flat
sure.
at the top.
Okay.
Okay. So, generally, you can drive them up front wheels, you know, go up. But you can't do all, you can't drive up
because
all four
your,
wheels.
Because your back wheels have nothing to go up on. Right. Yeah.
They'd already have to be in the air.
Yes.
Right, that's what I mean. They'd be up
yeah.
in the air. They would
yes.
be left, they would, it would sort of like teeter.
Yeah. yeah.
Okay.
You just couldn't do it. Trust me.
Well, now I gotta try. Can yeah. we try? I'm willing to. Ro, should we see if someone will lend us a Lotus and see if we can drive it up on the drive up ramps?
I'm with it. I'll be sidekick to that.
I think that needs to be a challenge at the event that you have
event?
At the Lotus Core 17th Annual Carl Grabowski Drivers Education Day. Who is Carl Grabowski? Tell us a bit about him.
Carl was one of our members. Very early on, probably long before I joined the club, and he passed away shortly before we started doing this event.
Oh, how nice that you guys
so
do this in his name.
So we decided to memorialize him. In the he was an enthusiastic autocrosser, which is a form of motorsports.
Excellent. Oh, you have a discount for listeners.
Yes, we do.
That's very nice of you. So
you're even on our webpage.
Yeah. Oh boy. You're not using the picture of me from Laser Zone when Joel and
took the
nightly deposit to the
right,
bank.
Right,
they have pictures of me from when I was 16 years old. Have I ever shown you some of those?
No.
You're
going to
get...
What, did you dress up to deposit the money?
No, I was just wearing... I think I was still wearing my softball uniform or something.
Yeah, some sort of Adidas pants, loungewear or something. I don't know.
Because if you think I was more dressy when I was in high school, you got another thing coming, my friend.
I've seen the hair. I've seen the
hair. Oh, the hair. That was a lot of time.
Did you have poofy hair?
Oh. Okay. Anyway, so, there is a $15 Patty V Show discount.
Nice.
So when you go to the website, which is lotuscore.org, you can go under the events and look for, and there are you can select the current Lotus Core and Chill members only.
Yeah, it actually now says your name on there to make it clearer.
Mm-hmm.
So it says Patty V listeners, Lotus Core, and Chill members. Chill's Indianapolis Club for Lotuses, so which we sort of are partners with.
I'm getting texts about now. Patty also has an appalling lack of automobile information. Oh, there's a lot I don't know. You know how much I don't know? I don't know how much I don't know. Yeah. That's a lot of stuff I don't know.
But that just shows how smart you are to admit that.
So we are hanging out with our friends Sanj and Danzy. Sanj is the vice president. Danzy is the president of Lotus Core. You can go to lotuscore.org. We're going to talk more about the events and what you can do during this this wonderful opportunity and their 17th annual Carl Grabowski Driver's Education Day. And let's make sure we get to some of the aspects of the event when we come back. We got to take a break here. Scott Santos joins us in studio. We're going to talk about we're also going to talk about Lori Lightfoot. She basically told the FOP to stick it. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. I first wanted to say hi, and I love you too, Paul. Just want you to know it's a little hectic off the air right now because a listener called in to challenge a statement made by the president of the Lotus Corps, Dan Ziolkowski, and Ziolkowski. Darn it, Zy. The wince on his face. He was like, yes, he was so hopeful for me. It was very sweet. I wish I had never told you. Our friendship could have gone on for the rest of our lives. We are decades into our friendship. I never told you I didn't know how to say your name. I didn't want to ask anybody else and be like, hey, so how do you say this? It was bad enough that Ken's last name isn't spelled correctly. You pronounce his name Coles, like the department store, which at the time he told me it was Coles.
See, that I never knew.
And I had never been there. Yes. At the time, I was like, the what?
Mm-hmm.
And it's spelled K-O-W-O-L-S. So you have to understand that as a child, people were already messing up my ability to say names correctly because none of it made any sense. And maybe at some point, how do you remember that I didn't know music? Do you have a moment where you go, oh, Patty doesn't know music?
I just felt that you were never really into it, never really...
I love music.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know it.
Right. There's a difference between the two. You can appreciate music and not know the name of the band or the song. There's nothing wrong with that.
So you don't
No, you really can't. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm going to disagree with all due respect. So it's like saying, well, I respect football. I just don't know any of the teams or the players.
That's fine. People can watch a game and not know any of that stuff.
There's plenty of people that watch playoff hockey and they don't know all the names of the players.
But they know hockey.
Right. They know. Well, Patty knows music. She just...
Do we even use quotation marks for
quote
music?
Marks on the radio.
They can on the live stream. Dan Ziolkowski.
Yes.
I don't know how you remember which way the I is pronounced. Z, Zy. Because it starts with a Z, right? So you're already in with the Z, but then you got to go Zy.
Zy.
Dan Ziolkowski is the president of Lotus Corps, and Sanj is the vice president. And we have Scott Santos, who is the editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. I don't know why you didn't ever point that out to me. I could have said that instead of stumbling over political cartoons.
I have. No, we had this discussion when we first met.
I don't remember.
5 years ago.
I think you're lying.
I usually am.
I'm sure you did. So a listener called to challenge a statement made by the president of Lotus Corps in regards to the movie, I don't even know. Taking Care of Business.
Yes.
In which Jim Belushi apparently drives a Lotus.
Yes.
And he at one point drives up on these ramps.
He doesn't drive up. He walks into the garage and there's the Lotus sitting on four drive-up ramps.
Presumably having driven up the ramps.
Right. But someone did at some point, yes.
And a listener called to say that that it is possible. You're saying it's not possible. He says that he did it every day for years. We don't know why and what capacity. Do we, Ro? We don't know why he was just randomly driving Lodi.
Maybe he just, you know, needed a thrill every day or something.
I'm not sure he was doing it with a Lotus. He might have done it with a different car, but there's not enough clearance where you would have to place the ramps to get for that to work.
What is the function? Why do the British design the car so low to the ground? Is it just to look cool?
Aerodynamics.
Is it aerodynamics?
Yeah. Yes.
Because I
and handling.
I don't
and handling.
Lower
okay.
cars handle better.
All right. Yes. So
corner.
Lower the ground.
You don't feel the corner. It's awesome.
Right. Right.
All I know is if my Prius could just be higher off the ground, it wouldn't skim it on those speed bumps and like.
And you could drive it up four ramps.
Yeah. You know, the thing that bothers me about my Prius is my inability to drive up those ramps.
Yeah.
We are talking about the 17th annual Lotus Corps Carl Grabowski Driver's Education Day at Black Hawk Farms Raceway in South Beloit. You can go to lotuscorps.org to find out more about the event. So let's find out. So for those who have never driven, and this is all for like the opportunity to drive a Lotus or to learn how about Lotus or just driving in general on the raceway.
This is an opportunity for you to drive your sports car
okay.
on a racetrack.
Okay, this is what I need
like
to know.
A race car driver.
What?
With instruction.
What?
Yes.
So you if you have so but it can be any kind of car? Does it be a Lotus?
Can it be a Prius? It could be a Prius.
Yeah. Let's see what this baby can do. I'm doing 82, everybody. Let's go.
It's learning.
Sanj is really worried that I'm going to bring my Prius out there. He's like, please don't bring your Prius with your duct tape holding up your front bumper because you misjudged a speed bump.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I spend more time organizing this event than instructing, but one time I was asked to instruct at an event for another club, and one of my students was in a little Nissan Sentra, so if you can do it in a little Nissan Sentra.
Okay, Sentra?
Sure,
I think if you want to, someone bring their Nissan Sentra, and I will take you on the racetrack.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not so much about the car.
Your little, bring your Honda Fit up from Alabama.
It goes from 0 to 60 if you push it off a cliff.
We would allow a Honda Fit to show up if
and pet it because it's adorable.
Yeah,
look at you with your little Honda Fit.
Then the 17 clowns come out of it. It's hilarious.
Okay, you can bring any car and drive it like you're a race car driver.
That would be awesome.
What is happening? I did not understand the breadth of this experience. This is amazing.
Yeah.
So Black Hawk Farms is what's called a road racing course. So they turn left and right.
Why
would you do that?
So you're not going in circles?
Correct.
Is it like an obstacle course?
No, it's going in a circle, but with left and right turns along the way. There's just seven.
Randomly
turns.
Or?
No.
Okay.
It's a twisty road.
Okay. It's not a figure eight like people used to do on their...
No, you turn right, then you turn left, then you turn right again, then you turn left, and then, you know...
I can't see it.
It kind of looks... What does it look like?
I don't know.
It's a strange shape.
Could you draw that for me, Dan, next to the Lotus that you have on the drive ramps? Well, Dan, demonstrate. By the way, Scott, did you appreciate his drawing skills?
I felt like I was there.
Yeah, I don't know what... That car looks like one of the cop. I think it's your Skokie car.
Yeah.
Your Skokie cop car. More after this on 720 WGN. I have this problem with my thoughts. I can't keep them to myself.
When the world blows up and we're all throwing stuff at each other, just remember, hey, if I need to sit down and have a meal, I can use this toilet.
What car did you use when you and Phil used to track me down at the Gap? And
this is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
On June 3rd, it's the Lotus Corps 17th Annual Carl Grabowski Driver's Education Day at Black Hawk Farms Raceway in South Beloit. And you can bring your car and drive it. What kind of track is this? You can drive it like a race car on a cross track? No, what was it?
Road racing.
So road racing, obviously, just not the circle. There are left and right turns. It's a different map of the course. Cool. And so beforehand, though, you have classes for those who maybe have never driven their car like a race car. Have you ever driven your car like a race car, Scott?
Yeah, I had a Porsche.
What?
I had a Porsche. When I got the job in Chicago, I figured I was going to live downtown, so the Porsche literally would be going,
yeah,
you know,
it's not fun.
You wouldn't do what a Porsche is supposed to do, and so I thought it was silly to just keep it around and pay the insurance, so resold it, and that broke my heart.
Yeah,
I sold it before I could say goodbye.
But did you ever get to drive it on a racetrack?
I never rose. Well, do you mean by racetrack, do you mean Alabama highways late at night? Because then the answer is yes.
He was on Bob's Road.
Yeah.
He had a good time.
Billy Bob. It's always
Billy Bob.
Billy Bob's.
Jimmy Ray. Jimmy Ray's road was blocked off.
Jimmy Ray's highway and chicken farm.
And the great thing is you can, they have classroom instruction for, in particular for novices, right? So tell us a little bit about like what there's novice level, obviously intermediate and advanced.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right.
So what do we learn in the novice class?
So the novice class actually works out fairly well because we have some, you know, excellent teachers there, and they have a PowerPoint presentation, and they'll do here's a layout of the track, and then they'll do turn by turn and where you should be braking, where you should be accelerating. And
yeah.
it really helps you learn what you're supposed to do on the track. So it's one of those things that you go into the classroom, you learn a little bit, then you go out on the track and practice that.
Right.
So it's immediate.
It's kind of a fun, controlled environment in order to learn how to...
Do the instructors ride with you?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah.
Novice. Right. For the novice and even the immediate group, maybe they have track experience, but it's their first time on the track.
Right.
So they may not know how to... or want to improve their time, so they will get an instructor to do that.
And then
to help with that.
If someone's been driving on tracks before, then you have the opportunity for advanced drivers to kind of cut loose
a little
bit.
They just go out on their own and have a good time.
Right, right.
And so it's not racing. We're not racing each other, but we are on the track at the same time.
Okay, yeah. But, they have a bunch of novices like,
and we're all
wait.
Going the same way. Unlike,
yes.
You know.
This has turned into a completely different event. So each driving session is 25 minutes long, and then you can have up to four sessions
per group.
Per group.
So if you're in the advanced group, you get four sessions of 25.
And you do not have to have a Lotus in order to participate.
No. I mean, most people have sports cars of some kind. We get Porsches, BMWs, you name it. I mean,
you want to see what your car does, this is your chance to get it out on the track.
And this is your chance to do it safely.
Yes. Right, a safe environment rather than driving on the streets and, you know, causing accidents there or hitting people or, you know, lower whacker.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Okay, do you know about this thing? But are there people that you know that do? Because were you and I leaving one night when I was ready to call the fire department and I realized I was standing in front of the fire department station downstairs and I thought, well, they already know. There's like smoke coming up and you smell all this burning... And I didn't realize do you know about the racing down?
I do. My little sister's best friend is a part of a lot of those car clubs. So she would go every single weekend.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sure that they don't give you information on where they...
We live downtown and can hear it.
It's almost right
night.
Below this building.
It is.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. I didn't know. It'll start up soon because once it gets warm out, you can see from the exhaust and the burnt rubber, it just wafts up here and you see it at street level on Columbus and Wacker. It's very strange. It was really... Every time, my mind always goes to like, there's, oh my God, the building's on fire from the lower part of the... Yeah. But everyone's like, no, it's just the racers. Oh, are we all just going to act like that's not a big deal? This okay. So there are people, there are car clubs that meet unofficially, obviously.
Right.
Whereas you guys provide an opportunity for people to drive safely in a way that you can learn about your car. And I think it also teaches you about your car when you're just driving in traffic.
Very much.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a great idea.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
So
and that's actually why we named it a Driver Education Day as opposed to a track day, because a track day generally implies racing or competitiveness, and we don't want that for ours. Ours is a driver education day. We're teaching you about how to drive your car properly on the track and you know, get better driving skills.
And you do want to make sure folks have a track-ready car. So
they, we do.
Yeah, you don't want to have cars that might stall out, might have parts of it falling off.
Or front bumpers.
That are held together. I don't know why my husband used blue duct tape. We have a silver car. Do you know what color duct tape generally comes in?
I'm thinking silver.
Silver! Yeah. Got blue duct tape on
the
silver.
You ever seen a duct?
Exactly. Wait, is that why it's named that? I'm kidding. Wait, it's ducked and not duck? I knew that, by the way, for all of you. I'm just going to... Anyway. Tell me a little bit about the limited speed lunchtime touring session.
So for people that don't necessarily want to go full bore with the track activity, we do get an opportunity for them to drive their car on a racetrack, so they can tell their friends they've been on a racetrack at a reasonable speed. We limit it to 50 miles an hour, but going through corners at 50 miles an hour is pretty exciting.
So. Is it, do you ever, have you ever driven so fast that you can, you're like, do I have all four wheels on the pavement? I mean, how fast am I taking this turn?
I've driven off the track.
You've driven off the track? How did that go?
Oh, not well.
Oh, boy. Have you ever wanted to try something like this?
Oh, absolutely. That sounds like a blast.
Yeah, that sounds, yeah. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
When so if you have a Porsche, Scott.
Well, I don't, but I can get one by the weekend. When is it again? It's June?
It is June 3rd.
June 3rd.
Which is a Monday.
Yeah. So and there is a discount, by the way, when you go to the website. It's lotuscore.org, and you can get a $15 Patty V Show discount. And make sure you enter Patty V Show in the
comments.
In the comments.
Yes.
Excellent. So this would be a lot of fun. So this is an opportunity for you to get your car out on a track. Of course, it has to be track ready, but any kind of car is welcome. And this sounds like a blast. Again, lotuscore.org. Is there anything I'm forgetting?
How to spell Lotus Core.
Yes, actually, that's a seriously. Good, that's
why,
a good point.
People know how to spell Lotus, right?
Right.
And then but Core, might, but not C-O-R-E. It's C-O-R-P-S.
Right. Correct.
Like the Marine Corps, but...
Exactly.
Yes. Right. So lotuscore.org. And this is a wonderful event, so I encourage everybody to check it out. And can people just come watch, I'm guessing, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's free to watch.
Excellent. Yep. Yay! Yeah. So go to lotuscore.org. By the way, I saw today on Northwest Highway, where we spent a lot of time in our childhood, because I was the assistant manager. I wasn't qualified enough to be the manager of the laser tag. Give me a 5-volt battery, and that's all they gave me, any other responsibility. I had this part-time job as the assistant manager. Do you know what laser, you know what laser tag is?
Yeah, I had kids.
When this was, yeah, so this is about when, maybe. I mean, it's a little more dynamic now.
Yes.
There's a lot more involved. There's different levels and bridges and all kinds
and
of stuff.
And scoring on guns. I mean, we just had the goals and stuff like that.
We just had a belt. They had a belt and a headgear, like with a almost like a headphone cord attached to it.
Yes.
And we charged their belt, and that was how your gun was. When you got shot, your gun was disengaged, and you had to go recharge it in the charging station. But in order to send them out on the floor, I charged them up with a 5-volt. And there was a lot of things that happened at that. Remember, I think I told you this. I got in trouble because someone called to ask. I was 16, and someone called and asked about birthday parties. Having a birthday party at Laser Zone. I'm like, I don't know. You have to call back later, because I didn't know.
Right.
I didn't. I got in trouble for not, I guess, taking their information, which, yes, when you get older and someone trains you and says this is how you do your job. But
right.
And we might have played after hours once in a while.
Maybe.
But there's on that street that I grew up on. I actually grew up upstairs. One of the reasons they liked me was if there was, if someone didn't show up, I could just go downstairs and go to work.
Wait, you lived above it?
I lived two or three doors down.
Yeah. But above it.
Above it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I lived above a bank. Okay. So I did. I grew up in a one-bedroom apartment above the what was previously the Peerless Federal Savings and then became TCF Bank on Northwest Highway. And but today I went for a walk, and there was a motorcyclist on one wheel coming down right in front of – I was like, what is happening? But that street, for some reason, is a stretch of road that people have used for years for motorcycles and drag racing up and down Northwest Highway. And there was an accident one time. Someone died driving into a storefront right across the street from where I lived.
Yeah.
So this is a safe way to enjoy your vehicle.
Right.
On June 3rd, you can go to the Lotus Core 17th Annual Carl Grabowski Driver's Education Day. Go to lotuscore.org. That's lotuscore.org. Want to find out about Scott's trip to the Grand Canyon and other things that are going on. And when we come back a little bit later, we're going to talk about, Dan, how long can you guys stay for a bit? Or did you?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yes.
Because Dan's got to know something. It's actually called I Gotta Know. He's got a question.
Gotta know.
Audience.
Gotta know.
Join our conversation anytime. 312-981-7200. Ooh, before I forget, I was mentioning bringing my Prius to the Lotus Day adventure, and someone wrote, the only thing my Prius can pass is a gas station. More in a moment on 720 WGN. I like that one. Listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Joining us are the president and vice president of Lotus Core. We have Dan Z and Sanj in studio. Zylkowski. See, go opposite of my instincts is what I think I have to do. Stop for a second, slow down, and say it correctly. And again, we were talking about the 17th annual Carl Grabowski Drivers Education Day. Go to lotuscourt.org. Scott Stantis, the editorial cartoonist. You are the cartoon of the Chicago Tribune. He is an editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. And by the way, congratulations that Mayor Lightfoot has one of your cartoons on her shelf.
Isn't that sweet?
It's very cool. It's the one where she's unplugging she's holding the plug and she's pulled the plug on the machine.
Yeah. So it's
really well done.
Yeah. Nice.
Rom never had any of my cartoons in this
office. I don't know why.
Because he's Rom.
You have not been, we haven't seen each other for a few weeks.
It's been almost a month.
Has it really been?
It's been almost a month, yeah.
Yeah, because I was out of town, then you were out of town, and you just returned from the Grand Canyon. Had you been there before?
Oh, a number of times,
I love the Grand Canyon.
It's one of the few things in your life that won't disappoint you. Marriage, kids, the whole thing, but the Grand Canyon will never disappoint you.
It is stunning. I was in college, I think I was just a sophomore in college, we were walking down a path. It was the first time I had been to Girl Scout camp in southern Wisconsin, so I'd been like out in nature and stuff, right? And I'd been to the forest preserve, but I'd never, you know, being a city girl, I had never been someplace where the stars felt like they were right there.
Isn't that cool?
I almost fell backwards when we were walking down this path at night. It was dazzling.
Yeah, one time the lights went out. They had a blackout in Los Angeles at night. And it was a cloudless night, and the 911 operators were inundated with, "What's this cloud hanging over the city?" It was the Milky Way.
Oh,
wow.
Because city kids had never seen it.
They'd never seen it.
But the fact that you saw it, isn't that gorgeous?
Well, you've done cartoons. You've been featured when they do like science events at the, where they have your cartoon about the lights in the sky.
Yeah, growing up under a starless sky.
Yeah.
Which here in Chicago, because light pollution is so bad, and Rahm Emanuel, God love him, bought 10,000 new lights, and none of them were dark sky lights. So the skies are even less star friendly.
Right. So you have to drive away from the city in order to appreciate our sky.
Canada. It's pretty bad.
You can probably go to South Beloit, Illinois.
You can. Race your car.
Farmland out there.
Just go out in the middle of the track and start. There's nothing. Tonight, if it had been warmer, I know it's dropping down. I was going to go hang out in my hammock under the stars tonight, but it's supposed to be in the 50s, so I'm going to wait till it's not.
It's gorgeous. So, yeah, we hiked at Zion first, and then we hiked the Grand Canyon rim to rim in a day.
Okay, so for folks who don't maybe understand what that means, so rim to rim, do you have, from the opposite?
You start from the north rim, and you wake up, and you wake up at 3 in the morning.
Okay.
And you put on the headlight, and you look like a moron.
But you look charming? You and Jeannie look charming.
I had the knit cap. I had a Blackhawks knit cap on, and this is how cool Chicago is. This happens to me every place in the world I have been. Walking down this trail, someone says, "Hey, go Hawks!"
Yeah.
And she keeps hiking.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's significant. I think Cubs and Blackhawks are the things to wear when you're traveling.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So you wake up at 3 in the morning, put your little knit Blackhawks hat on, your miner's light.
Yes.
You're right? Are you with a group? Is there like a guide?
No, it's just Janine and I.
Just
the two of us.
So, okay.
But there's a lot of people at the trailhead. It was surprising. We started the hike at 4 in the morning, and so you head down the North Rim.
Where did you stay? Was it, you weren't
the
camping?
Lodge.
There's
the
a
lodge.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
What are we, barbarians? the story gets weird because we get to the North Rim, and we're like, okay, we got the room. That's great. Okay, we're and all of a sudden the lights just go, and we're going, oh, well, this can't be good. And it turns out we're having no electricity in the north.
An outage.
Yes. So trying to pack for a trip across the Grand Canyon with no lights on at 3 in the morning was unpleasant.
How much?
And
do you
couldn't charge phones. Now think about this for a second. No pictures.
We
have like five pictures.
Yeah, I saw someone on Facebook. You had a Facebook live video too, I think.
I did that the day after I was able to charge my phone.
Oh,
so,
man.
So yeah, we went down because I actually did a Facebook live. I wanted to do one starting it at 4 in the morning. I know people, it would be 6 o'clock here. And I thought, okay, that'd be kind of fun. And maybe if we got a signal at the bottom, I could do it from there. This will be fun. No, but we hiked it and we got to the bottom. But the thing is, it's 24 miles.
So you hiked You hike down.
Yes.
And then you hike back up.
Go across. You go to the Phantom Ranch and cross the Colorado River.
I've never seen the Phantom Ranch. We did the mule ride halfway. So there are two different mule rides on the South Rim. You can go halfway down. And then if you want to stay overnight, you go to the Phantom Ranch. It's not, you're not recommending it.
It was crowded.
Oh.
That's what shocked me. I was just like, we thought it'd be restful and you're by the Colorado and it's a Phantom Ranch.
Yeah.
You know, but it was just really packed.
And were there travelers, I'm guessing, from all over the world?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a when we were done, it took us 15 hours to do the thing. And you have to take the shuttle, 4.5 hour shuttle, back to your car.
Right.
So the kid in the shuttle did it in 10 hours. So I beat him unconscious with my hiking pole. That just seemed like the right thing to do.
So you were telling me off the air that you use, but you do use the hiking poles, and you were talking to a doctor who was explaining the importance of that. And like,
yeah, they help with your balance, and as like, you know, you don't use it to propel you, but it does. It really does make a huge difference, especially going uphill, which was the tough part because you hike 15 miles and then you've got 9.5 miles of uphill.
Can you actually do like the did you see the final? Did you ever see the episode of Brady Bunch where they get lost?
No.
See, I feel like you should have watched the episode of Brady Bunch.
Cautionary tale, was it?
Yeah. Although you would have been very mad at yourself because you would have filled your flashlight with baked beans and a hot dog. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. See, I was really unprepared.
I wonder how many people go to the Grand Canyon and like have a flashlight filled with baked beans and a hot dog. Okay. So you walk down. Can you camp if you decide, like, rather than having to go rim to rim, can you stop halfway?
You have to reserve a place. There are camping sites, but you have to reserve a slot. You could, it's a big canyon. It's a Grand Canyon.
Yeah,
pretty much find a place to throw a bag down and sleep.
But never having been to the bottom, what is it like down there?
It's gorgeous. You walk through, it's a stunning experience. I mean, I make fun of it because I couldn't feel my legs for 2 days afterwards. But you go down on the North Rim, and I didn't expect to go along a pretty major tributary into the Colorado River. So this raging river next to you as you're hiking, and you're going through probably 4 or 5 ecosystems. You start in a thick forest, thick pine forest, and at the Phantom Ranch, it's desert.
Oh.
So that was kind of cool.
I think that's in the episode. Isn't the Brady Bunch is kind of a deserty area? Like they're running through sand or something.
There is sand down there.
Okay.
And there's a beach along the Colorado River.
Right. Oh, that makes sense. Frolic. Is it like a racing river? Because I think I've been on the Colorado River because we went to the Hoover Dam. Is that the Colorado? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go.
And they tell you don't go into the river, but then again, they tell you not to go rim to rim in a day either. So
let's take a break and find out more about Scott Sanders' adventure.
He lived.
Rim to rim. More after this on 720 WGN. He did. He's here. You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Some great music again. Ro Coleman producing the show this evening. She's the best wave in the business. She has. I mean, like that's not even like a. It's not a royal wave. It is a Ro wave. I love that.
I like that.
It's a Ro wave. Yeah. I think we've come up with some good stuff today. I think that my face is not about you is my favorite thing so far. Yeah. We have to. Can you make sure? How do I copyright something like that?
Just copyright
it.
Yeah.
I still think a graphic would be fun. You guys think just the phrase my, and for those of you wondering what that means.
If anything, you put a stale face emoji.
Right. Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Maybe you think just the quote.
Angry. I like just the quote.
I like just the quote.
Too. Well, there you go. I got. You know what? You know how you do it is I got to put it on Facebook constantly. I'm gonna put it on Facebook and then it's mine. I'm kidding. I'm doing a show. I can't be worrying about other commerce.
You're
right
supposed
now.
To write it down somewhere, mail it to yourself.
You can do that
and never open it.
And it's true. I think that's.
You can publish it and just presume, and the presumption is that's copyrighted.
Okay, this brings up an important question.
Okay,
do you know anyone? Someone Google it out there. I don't have time right now. I don't know how to find. You know, Ro, I'm not going to make you do it. I just want to see. Maybe listeners can share their thoughts on this. Do you think the phrase "a spoonful of sugar" is copywritten? Can that because it's a lyric in a song? Do you think that Disney owns that?
Doesn't Disney own everything?
I think so. Rights from Mary Poppins, a spoonful.
Do you think that was a common phrase before it was in Mary Poppins?
Right. But if you use it in the context of medicine, maybe you can't. Maybe it's the way in which it's used.
But was that an expression before the movie?
And they made that's a good. It's a really good question.
There's a company in Outrage in Birmingham, Alabama, of all places. One of the very early, for if you wanted to go visit Birmingham in the 30s, was we're glad you're here in Birmingham.
Right.
And a T-shirt company took the graphic from that era and copyrighted the phrase.
Right.
How do you copyright "we're glad you're here"?
Well, Super Bowl is like copywritten, and so aren't there different things that are copywritten that you can't?
Beyonce's children's names are copywritten.
I'm sorry,
they're either copywritten or trademarked. Legit.
Wow.
Whose names? Wait, what?
Beyonce's children's name.
Isn't one Chicago or something?
No, that's Kanye.
That's Kanye.
You got, what is it? It's Blue Ivy, Rummy, and I'm
wait, Rummy?
Rummy.
Yep, Rummy.
R-U-M-I. Rummy.
That's going to get mispronounced a lot. Rummy. Roomy. Can you imagine growing up? I'm sorry. This is not funny. It's a child. I don't know how old the child is, but being called Roomy doesn't seem like a great way to grow up.
Well, Rummy, that's an old expression for a drunk.
But, so Rummy is also a card game.
But you spell it differently.
You do, but you don't say it differently.
It's not copyrighted.
That's Scott Sanders, the editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, also a member of the editorial board, which I guess then also explains why he's the editorial cartoonist. That all works together very well.
Yeah, it hangs together nicely. Like, well done.
Dan Z, the president of Lotus Corps. They have a great event coming up on June 3rd. You can go to lotuscorps.org to be a part of their Lotus Corps 17th annual Carl Grabowski Driver's Education Day. And both he and the vice president, Sanj, have been telling us a lot about the event. And again, go to lotuscorps.org for more information. We have a texter, by the way, Scott. We were talking about your trip to the Grand Canyon. 847 says they wouldn't let our 18-month-old go down the canyon on mules. Hold on a second. You and I have the exact same question or similarly phrased question in our head. They wouldn't let our 18-month-old go down the canyon on mules.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, they just learned how to keep their head up. And, well, I mean, maybe they thought, they would ride with them, right? Kind of.
Well, maybe further explanation.
I think so. So we took her down on horses accompanied by the Havasu guides. We stayed in Havasu Canyon and swam under the waterfall in 1965. There were no other. You were just too late. You were like 55 years too late.
That's always the story.
I'm sorry, 54 years too late.
They let a 5-year-old down the mules?
18-month-old. Wow. That's adventurous. I took my.
There was a woman down at Phantom Ranch with a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. They had to carry it, I guess. The damn thing wouldn't carry its own backpack.
Well, I wonder if you could put it in a baby Bjorn, like one of those papooses. Maybe
still,
do that
that's a baby you're carrying down there.
Well, you have to have a lot of confidence. If those of you who've been in the Grand Canyon, I mean, there are times when they say that the mules have very sure footing, but there are times when you're like, you are on a steep drop.
Yeah.
There are places on the path that don't look like you would want to.
Have a baby.
Mm-hmm. Three-peat is copywritten, so there you go.
Actually, I was going to mention that one, that three-peat was.
Did you text that to me?
did you? Just trying to get your attention.
Tell the truth. I saw you on your phone. Tell me the truth. The texts are coming from inside the studio. I think that's the first time that's ever happened. This is kind of like when I call a restaurant. We're going to talk about this in a minute. When I call a restaurant to ask for my server. When I'm inside the restaurant, could you send my server over to my table?
It's been a while.
I did it once.
Did it work?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were like, yeah. What's fun is watching them answer the phone at the hostess. Okay. Focus.
why start now?
Scott. All right. So you so you hiked down. So you did, even though it's not recommended that you submerge or even get into the river, the Colorado River, you did?
Well, I did not, actually. We didn't have time. We were going rim to rim in one day.
How do you pace yourself to know that you're going to be able to get back up the other side?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Does anyone know the answer? Well, Scott, I'd turn to you.
We had a pace, right? We were training in our building because there are so many hills in Chicago to train on.
That's a problem.
So we live in a tall building here downtown. Patty's trained with us before, and it's 50 stories tall. So you do that over and over again, and then you pick a pace. Janine tends, my wife tends to like to go, pew, like right out of the gate, man, just fast. And I'm the opposite. I start slow, but the trick is to find that medium pace. But.
Well, yeah, if you have two people who have a different sort of approach, it's going to be dicey.
Yeah, so we know you have to consciously go slow, which is part.
When we climb at, so he lives in one of the high rises down here. When we climb, I do need to do, especially for whatever reason, it worked for us to walk 10. To climb 10, walk across, was it 10 or 20? Maybe it was 20.
I know, we did 10, I think,
10,
to start.
Yeah. Every 10, we would do 10 and then walk down the hall because there are two sets of stairwells in your building.
Yeah.
And that worked out really well because I think it's better for my knees and to develop that muscle.
Yeah.
In your thighs.
And it freaks
quads.
People out in the hallway.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Puffing and puffing.
Where are these sweaty people coming from?
Yeah, it really is.
There should be a stair climbing club at your building.
There should be. I should do this.
Yeah. I would join.
Would you? We should come up with a name of the t-shirt.
It'll be just you and me.
We'll
my
t-shirts.
Face is not about you. Okay, by the way, I just have to let people know what we mean. We were talking earlier about sometimes we are deep
don't
in thought.
Explain it.
Okay, never mind.
No, I'm kidding.
You know what, listeners who don't know what I'm talking about? My face is not about you. So you make it down to the Colorado River.
Yes.
And I'm not breaking now.
I'm sorry.
I just realized I even like the way you do the break. Like, you got a flair for everything.
Wow.
Yeah, do you see that?
I'm a little extra.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, I'm just a little extra with everything.
Yeah,
she's 37 pieces of flair. That's
hold on. But now, I watch the S Creek, right? And they talk about you're being extra. I thought extra meant being more difficult because extra also means...
No, sometimes extra is literally what it means. You do... Over your little
more
over
than
the top.
More than necessary.
Than more than necessary. Absolutely.
Right. That was the best break any producer has ever given me in 5 years that I've been hosting. By the way, you know, this week is my 5-year anniversary.
Whoop, whoop.
Wow.
But happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's more than I got from the station. I got 5 extra vacation days. But in the 5, this is my favorite thing. I've never had a producer do it so wonderfully.
You don't do it.
Do the break.
She, it's more of a and then a big move, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a
get the hell out of the segment. She's like, move along. Oh my god, now I forgot what I was gonna say. Mm-mm, it's too late. Gotta take a break.
Okay.
I wasn't gonna break from this segment, and now I'm gonna be too okay, let's just reset. Everyone take a deep breath. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Wow, that was good. People listen to me. We are hanging out in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. If you have to get out of your car, or maybe you're drifting off to sleep and you want to hear how things turn out, you can always listen to the podcast, which is available anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can even, on your smart speaker, I hate to say, like, hey, whatever your smart speaker is, because invariably someone's smart speaker will go off. So I don't want to bother your smart speaker that's sleeping right now. But you can say, play the Patty Vasquez Show on your smart speaker. And you can also go to the WGN Radio page, our WGNRadio.com site, iTunes, everywhere you get your podcasts, and listen to the show. All the shows, every single show in the 5 years I've been here are available.
Is that
on
right?
The podcast.
Your first show?
Yeah, it should all be there. I think it would be, so it would be this week, it would be my first official show. In the months leading up to this this anniversary week, I was auditioning, after a while, they started rotating me in every single week until Todd made the decision that it would be me. I want to say we started in February 5 years ago, and I started alternating with other hosts to see who would be the best fit. So I am very grateful and love my job, and it's been a wonderful, wild ride.
Who were your first guests? Do you remember that first week?
Wow, I bet you I could take a look.
Senator Dan Katowski.
Well, the very first show I ever did on a Sunday night, so I was on Sunday nights, and during that time, for almost a year, I was hosting 6 nights a week, because they were partly because, you know, I still am learning my job, but it was a great experience. But Senator Dan Katowski and by the way, John Sobel is coming on the show next week, I believe, from Max and Benny. They're bringing food, and he'll be here on Tuesday night to celebrate as well, because he was on my very first show with his, I think, his sister, who was one of the producers, or maybe she was she did some of the work on the show, the series Cat House on HBO, which is the bordello in Vegas. Yeah, so that was my... I don't know why anyone... It was so funny because everyone thought, well, you know, that was exactly the tone I've always set. Politics, a little bit of politics, and a little bit of, you know, Cat House, a little
cat
bit
house.
Of food. Yeah. So, and Scott and I met Craig Collins, who was my producer at the time. wanted to talk to Scott about the attack on the newspaper in Paris, the Charlie Hebdo. We met and have been friends ever since.
Yeah, that was January 7th, 2015.
You just looked it up?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, holy
It's been a long time. I think we're doing all right as friends.
Yeah, I think so far. Why? Well, I haven't done anything to tick you off or anything yet.
I tick you off more than you tick me off.
I don't think so. I think we're pretty talented.
There was one night we got an argument about a speech that Abraham Lincoln gave, and I still feel badly. Yeah, but the Cooper Union address.
Yes.
But the problem was I had been listening to it because Sam Waterston, you can go on YouTube and Sam Waterston does the speech. And I'd been listening to it over and over again, trying to find some solace in these troubled times. So I had it in my head like all the time. And I got a little heated and I acted inappropriately. And I'm glad that Scott continued to be my friend.
Yes, you yelled at me.
I
can't remember what it was about.
I don't necessarily yell anymore. I did tell Ken Jakubowski to take a step back on Friday night.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was probably the most... I was not angry, just that he said that the stuff going on in Georgia and Alabama were no big deal. And
Wow.
Yeah, that was a bold choice to make and say that. Yeah.
I'll have to listen to that podcast because I'm trying to wonder what his reasoning would be for that.
He just thinks it's a distraction. Well, let's not get into that because that's tomorrow night. If you want to come tomorrow night, Scott, by the way, you're welcome to join us.
I'm actually going to be driving up to Madison.
Finally. I love Madison. Okay. God, Dan, I'm blaming you tonight. Sanj, you relax. It's not your fault.
Sanj looks totally relaxed, actually.
I really am. This is like I was 16 again, isn't it? A little bit.
A little bit.
Dan Z and Sanj are here. They're with the Lotus Corps, and you can go to lotuscorps.org to find out about their 17th annual Carl Grabowski Driver's Education Day, where you can take your car out on the track. As long as it is track ready, you can learn about driving. You get all kinds of sessions and from novice, intermediate, and advanced, and take your car out on the track. We were talking about Scott's adventures in the Grand Canyon. I also want to talk about something that's upsetting to you and to many people, I'm sure, in particular the ones that it happened to. Tell us a little bit about what happened with some cartoonists.
Gatehouse Newspapers this afternoon laid off three staff cartoonists. Nate Beeler from the Columbus Dispatch, Rick McKee and the Augusta newspaper, which I can't remember the name of it, and I don't have this absolutely nailed down, but it seems that Mark Streeter in the Savannah newspaper is also laid off today.
And what was the, did they say why the newspaper made this decision?
Why not?
Okay.
I mean, the editorial cartoon is hanging by a thread. I mean, it's kind of remarkable. People like it. It's kind of the perfect medium for today's media. If you think about it, you look at it on your phone. It's super fast. It's so it's something people want to read. So, of course, newspaper editors want to kill it.
You would think these days that you'd have a lot of material for that type of stuff that, you know, you would need those people around.
Not just material, but like I said, the medium itself is so easy to apply to our technology today that, you know, an editorial cartoon is immediate, it's fast, it's easy to digest. People are reading less nowadays. I mean,
everything is visual and people just want an instant.
And so it'd make, you know, but they'd rather run a 3,000 word editorial than run a cartoon. But so that's what's going on. And so on the break, the CEO, which I think we should probably use his name, shouldn't we?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to call him. He said we should call him. Like, what? You have his number? That's fast. I'm not allowed to make outgoing calls, Scott.
Is that true? Yeah, I was there that night, too. That was historic.
Wait, isn't this a situation of, let's say his name is whatever.
Let's call him. Let's call him because that's his name.
Mike Reed, who's the CEO of Gatehouse parent company New Media Investment Group, what a son of a... Sorry.
Whoa.
He downplayed the cuts, calling them immaterial.
The cuts are immaterial?
Yes, without providing a specific number.
Oh, my God.
Immaterial.
Then don't fire them. If it's not... If it's not going to make a difference, I mean, how much can you possibly? Okay.
No, it's grotesque, and it is, you know, obviously it's my profession, so I have skin in the game in a big bad way, and I've been doing this job for 40 years. It's something that I love it.
Wow.
You know, I can say this when I'm a drooling old man. There are a few dates I'll remember, but the one is May 22nd, 1978, first time a cartoon of mine ran professionally. Got paid $10 full.
Woo!
Yes.
Where was it running?
San Pedro News Pilot. The newspaper no longer exists, but the memory lives on.
Do you, do you have it framed somewhere?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? Of course.
My mom has my first check framed. My first check.
Yeah?
It was $75, and I performed for the Nordic Law Club at the Michael Jordan restaurant.
What'd you do? Was that stand-up?
Yeah, I did 10 minutes of stand-up. And I you know, I was such a dork. I decided to do, I thought, well, I should tailor it for their group. And so I Googled Nordic, you know, sort of goofy stuff. And one of the jokes I had was about, because they make good semen. Seamen. They're known for being.
Yes. They're able-bodied seamen.
And of course, that was the part of the, yeah. Because
yes.
I just started. Did I mention that I talked about Cat House on my very first show? Okay.
$75 is good.
It was, I couldn't believe it. I was like, I'm going to make a lot of money.
How did you do that?
What do you mean, how did I?
I mean, had you been performing elsewhere?
Open mics. I had been doing open mics and things like that, yeah. But Dan, when was the first time you ever saw me do stand-up? Was it Zany's in Vernon Hills? No, you guys came to Mount Prospect.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I saw you in Vernon Hills.
Did you see me in Vernon Hills? Was it with Dave Attell?
This was you.
I have a picture of that night. Someone just posted a picture of me and Dave Attell. The I'm so sorry, Scott. You know what?
I'll tell this story.
We're reminiscing about your career, and I totally sidetracked. I'll tell the story later. I'm sorry to hear.
More interesting.
It's disheartening to hear that we are deciding to discard people so willy nilly.
Well, the journalists. I mean, you're talking about newspapers now. We're coming up on. Okay, I don't want to get on soapbox, but I'm going to.
Hey, I get off my high horse every night. Go ahead.
Okay, 1600, we're coming up on 1600 cities and municipalities in the United States that are not served by a daily newspaper or a weekly newspaper. 1600. Now, if I'm a county commissioner or some low-life county official who's skimming money off of the budget, this is the best days ever. And so when you hear this president say fake news, when you hear the particularly conservatives talk about how newspapers are liars and they're terrible and they don't you know, and it affects us. It has impacted us. Yeah. And it has a real world impact on how our democracy works. So editorial cartoonists are part of that, but that's opinion. But just covering newspapers, you're talking about staffs that are now averaging 15 to 20 people.
Wow.
That's it. I mean, that's everyone in the newsroom versus, we're just rehiring now at the Chicago Tribune someone to cover down in Springfield, which is rather important.
Well, when I was in Springfield, I was surprised at how undercovered, how few news outlets send somebody down there. That was one of the reasons I kept going back, going, no one's talking about all the crazy stuff that's happening in these hallways.
You broke stories.
I remember one day there was a legislator that said you would be, I have to find the quote. I have it in my Facebook somewhere in my stream, but it was, you would be surprised by the lack of intelligence in this building. And after a couple of years, I was like, I was not surprised. I was not at all surprised. Let's take a break here. Come back and continue our conversation after the news on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Dan Zielkowski. See, that's the thing, is because I know you as Dan Z, so it makes me want to tumble right back into to go the wrong way. So
I got it.
Dan Z is the president of Lotus Core. Sanj is the vice president. You can go to lotuscore.org for information about their upcoming event at the Blackhawk Farms Raceway, where you can get your car out on the track. As long as it's track ready, you can take a couple classes. You can, if you're at any level of driving, beginner, intermediate, and advanced, go to lotuscore.org for the June 3rd event, which is the 17th annual Carl Grabowski Drivers Education Day. That's lotuscorps.org. This is where my friends find out how many people are listening and or are interested in what I'm saying, because they'll know when people go to the website and use the Patty V Show discount code. On the line with us is Doug, because Doug, we're about to talk about tipping, and you, I can see on the screen what your thoughts are on how much you should tip. How much should you tip across the board?
Yes, you know, I've gotten into tipping between 20% and 40%, and I like the fintech companies that are owned by the same CEO that owns Twitter. He does it so that their feedback loops in on the smartphones, that you can immediately get out of the restaurant by signing your name, and you don't have to worry about leaving your MasterCard or Visa there. I got a Visa card. So I loved this guy. Is just a genius. He owns Twitter. He's a CEO. He owns all these disruptive fintech companies where you have to walk up, you put your card in the slot, and you just punch 20 to 40%.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you do the automatic tipping. You know what else? Some restaurants are just telling you what 10% would be and the total with it, 15%, 20%, 25%, things like that. I think it's a pretty smart way to go. Thanks, Doug. I like that. By the way, Dan, so I want to set this up because the reason you got to know, it's I got to know with Dan Z. And this happened. What happened to you in a restaurant that makes you wonder about tipping?
So there was one time where about 10 of us went out for my birthday. And we were at a restaurant. We were at the back of the restaurant, and it was a Tuesday night, not very busy. So we sit down and we're waiting for our waiter to come by, waiting for him to come by. Now, I can understand that he may not have realized he had this table because there was also a patio which he was handling. Uh-huh. So initially, I can understand. Maybe he didn't realize we were there. So he stops by, takes our order, and then disappears. We don't see him for a long time. And there were a couple mistakes that he made. My mom had ordered soup, and he didn't bring it. And then our food came, and then she's like, well, you didn't bring my soup. And he's like, okay, I'll go get it. Then forgot about it and, you know, just disappeared for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. So one of my questions is, and let me say this first, is that I've never worked in a restaurant. So that's why I got to know. I'm curious to find out
what other people do.
Right. What are they doing during that time?
Oh, what's the server doing?
Yes. What's the server doing that time?
It could be anything.
Because, yeah. It wasn't busy, so it's not like they were taking care of a whole bunch of tables. Because if I saw them busy, I could understand them not coming back. But there was some people on the patio and our group, right. And that's it. So
did you? Can I ask do you want to tell us whether or not you did tip at all, or did you?
I'm sure I contribute to this problem. I generally tip 20%, mostly okay. Because it's easy to calculate.
Right.
So I'm contributing.
Decimal point over one and then times two.
Yeah. So I'm probably contributing to the problem because whether it has to be really bad service for me to do any less than 20%, because then I have to calculate it more.
Right.
So, so if you're giving relatively good or bad service, you're getting 20%. You know, okay. If it's really, really good, I would go over that. I don't just go, it's always 20%.
I know, but Doug goes up to 40%. Yeah. All of wow. us, I know, our jaws all like dropped open. We were like, what?
Yeah. So
thank you for your call, by the way, Doug. Thank you.
Yes. So my question is for anybody who might be working as a wait staff, what are sort of the situations that you might not come back to the table for a long period of time? You know, I just don't know. What are all the responsibilities that fall
well,
into
look,
that?
Well, look, by the way, we have a listener who is a general manager at a restaurant, so maybe they can let us know, because I would think that the manager would want their servers on the floor, because it helps for the restaurant. It helps because you want to be adding to the bill. You want to say, hey, do you want another drink? Do you want a dessert? You know, part of the job of the server isn't just to bring you food. It's also to help the restaurant make money.
Right.
And you were mentioning, you would think, since their salary is tied to how well they do their job, because it's based on the tips, you would think that they would want to be attentive to the customers is what you're wondering about.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. I would think that if I were in that position, I would want to be out there making sure that my customers are taken care of, mm-hmm. so that I would receive a good tip. And I often worry sometimes that in situations where does the responsibility lie for correcting that behavior? Is it, if you leave a bad tip, most likely that server is just going to say, oh, this guy was a jerk. You know, he left me a small tip. Not, hey, I was probably a bad server. That's why I got a small tip.
Right.
You know, so where does that responsibility lie? I don't feel that I should have to go to the manager.
You're really holding on to this. How long ago did this happen? I love that Dan's like extrapolating, like trying to figure out where they are. Are they in the alley having a cigarette? Are they?
Do we maybe suspect foul play?
Right? Were they having a stomach situation and they couldn't get out of the bathroom?
Well, like, no,
and was it clean?
Yes.
Did they wash their hands? I'm hoping.
Probably should have eaten in there. That's.
Did you start imagining? Like, have you gone over the scenarios in your mind?
Aliens.
I think for a lot of people, I think there's obviously different things. Some people would have stiffed they would have stiffed. By the way, people know that means not tip, right?
Right.
Correct.
They would stiffed them. Is that still a term people use? What'd you do? Stiff them?
Yeah, it sounds like something from the 30s. Doesn't it just sounds like...
It's how my dad talks.
Yeah, so I stepped in, huh?
It is an industry term, right?
It's an industry term.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was, you know, sometimes you're in the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that means? Being in the weeds? Industry term.
Sure.
Context.
You don't know what being in the weeds is?
Right over my head.
What context?
Stone?
Okay. 312-981-7200. I have a pair of tickets to give away to Next to Normal at the Writers Theater in Glencoe. If you can tell me in the restaurant industry what being in the weeds means. 312-981-7200. Yes.
So does the restaurant manager we have on the phone, does he count?
Absolutely.
Can he answer this?
Yeah, he wins right away. Maybe he wants something else, but I got a pair of tickets. Hello. He doesn't want to tell us his name, though.
Hello. Oh, I didn't even get a chance to. I'm Todd, by the way.
Oh, hi, Todd. How are you? Because she's trying to make sure she gets you on the air before we finish the segment. Hey, Todd, how are you doing?
Good. Yeah, I actually just got home from work. I manage for, I can even say it, Longhorn Steakhouse.
Uh-huh.
That's a fine restaurant, by the way.
That's a great restaurant.
I do like Longhorn.
Question or...
Before I know you're going to know, so I'm going to give you a prize anyway. Hey, Ro, basically it's that text from the 815 is correct. So the next two callers who have that right, we can give them prizes as well, and I'll figure that out in a minute. But Todd, do you want to go to the Writers Theater production of Next to Normal? It's amazing. It's a musical about mental illness, but it's great. It's always hard for me to explain. It's incredible. Do you want to see that?
Do you know when it's running? Because I already know my schedule. I can tell you if I can go.
I will look up the schedule. We'll figure out the schedule, but Next to Normal is one of the best productions. And I'll work this out for you. So I know that you know. So what do you want to clear a few things? Because Dan's got to know.
Well, sometimes when you don't see the servers, I know at least at my restaurant, we have structured side work the servers have to do while they're working.
Okay.
Which means they have to roll silverware. They have to... You'll clean a particular area in the back
side jobs,
to make sure
yeah.
mm-hmm. it's stocked and ready. So sometimes they are back there doing that. You know, they do have other things that they have to do off the floor. So sometimes they do disappear, which I always try to make sure if I've got guests in the restaurant, they're on the floor. I don't want them in back, you know, trying to get out early, you know, so as soon as they're done, they can leave.
There you go. So yes.
I think we need more general managers like than what I've been to experienced at other restaurants.
What would you want Dan to do in a situation where they haven't seen their server in a bit?
Ask for a manager.
Would you feel comfortable saying, "Hey, you know, I just want you to know, you know, I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but I was wondering where my server was or something like that." Whatever way you would put it.
Right.
By the way, Todd, the production of Next to Normal, this is just announced today, has been extended through June 23rd. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll figure this out if this works for you or not, okay?
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Hold on one second. I'm going to take a break in a moment, but does that make sense to you?
Yes.
I think ask for the manager. Oh, hold on a second. Todd, I have another question. Should he still have tipped his server?
Yes, because based on what they get paid, it's a minimum, like... $4.50 an hour.
Yeah, you know that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what they get paid, yeah. and that's why I was thinking that if I were a waitstaff, I would be making sure that you want to.
You'd be on top of your table.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's your bread and butter. Absolutely, I agree on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you require them to be doing that during busy times, or is it more of just a downtime type of thing?
And if they're in a point where they're not. You know, having active tables or they're in between tables, go ahead and go on back and do your side work.
Mm-hmm.
Do something, be productive. But if you got tables, I'm always walking the floor. I'm always talking to the tables. I can tell if a server hasn't been there or if I'm running for a table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they ask me for five different things, like, okay, you know, then I'm going to get the server involved and say, hey, they're needing all this. You got to be on it.
Gotcha. Well, thank you so much for clearing that up for because I've only been a server, but I it's hard for me to explain. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things going on, but it's a shame that happened to you and your mom. Todd, thank you so much, and everyone, which Longhorn can I ask?
I'm currently at the one in Des Plaines, but I usually work for the one at Oak Lawn.
That's right by my house.
There you go. Stop by and say hi to Todd.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Come on in.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Hold on the line, Todd. I'm going to take a break and figure out the schedule for you in just a moment. All right?
Okay. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Of course. Let's see what the this 815 says. I think maybe if you paid them a real livable wage, you wouldn't have to work so hard to please people. Yeah, I think that's hard too. Also, could be helping other servers or the bar. Always ask. It's okay to wonder. And he's not being rude about it. And you did tip. I know that for sure. Tip means to ensure promptness. And for those wondering what weeds means, it means you are buried. And then other people have other words for it. But you're swamped. You have a lot. You have a lot of tables. You have a lot of food to run. Right. You have everything going. You have a lot. You know, you have customers that need more than you can handle at this moment. But you know, you're trying to manage it. So you're in the weeds and a little bit. You know, trying not to run behind, but you're in danger of that. And hold on, hi Patty. In the weeds means you're getting your ass handed to you. No prize needed. More after this on 720 WGN. Hey, everybody. Oh, I'm in the middle of talking. Hey, everybody. It's the Patty Vasquez Show. Ro, I was telling you about my very first day at Pizza Hut at the Summit Mall in Park Ridge. And I had this big tray of those tall red plastic cups. I don't know if they still have them. And there were like six or seven. I was shadowing somebody but serving the drinks. I think had to be the first time I ever carried a tray, which I never mastered. All the restaurant
jobs.
Which
is hard. That's a lot to balance on your hand.
I was at Planet Hollywood. They hated me at Planet Hollywood because I couldn't carry the big trays with the stacked plates and dishes. Because, I mean, there were times when I'm so glad I never hurt anybody. Because they had the massive, like, oval tray. Trays that you had to come down and like drop them on a tray stand and stuff. Okay, so I have this huge tray of plastic cups, all filled with six of them filled with Coke, Diet Coke, with all the stickiest stuff you could possibly have. And as I'm leaning over to serve the first one, my shoulder knocks all the glasses all over the table, all over everyone. It was just such a mess, and it was one of the biggest tips I ever got in my entire serving career. And I was tempted to like just spill drinks on everybody all the time, but I did. I don't think I ever spilled anything on anybody ever again. I was so embarrassed, but I did not. I being a server was the one job I think I've ever had where no matter how much I tried to relax at the end of a night, like I could still hear the clattering of dishes and the silverware and the going back and forth. It was the hardest job I've ever had to decompress of afterwards. And I've had a lot of retail jobs. Well, I mean, I had 40 different jobs before I became a stand-up comic. It's true. It was the emotionally, I think, the grind of it. Like, I had fun with it sometimes. The other problem I had was that you could have a table that absolutely adored you and think you were the greatest server you've ever had. And this happened to me at the Roxy in Evanston. I had a table inside, and they were having a birthday, and it was just this couple, and they were like, can you sit down and hang out with us? And the table outside, you know, and I had to go in and out. But I know I was taking care of her. Not like I didn't disappear forever.
Right.
But she gave me 26 cents, and she said, this is the worst service I've ever had in my entire life. And I was like, can you come sit with the people inside? Because they seem to be having a different experience. And it was the highs and lows that were really hard for me to manage, because you can't take it out on the customers.
Right.
And then you also have...
Except on your last day.
Well, and even then, I never knew when the last day was, because sometimes I would just walk out. I think there's still like $2.15 checks for me. I worked at the Cactus. Do you know, I don't know if I ever told you this, Ro, don't think less of me, because I actually had fun at the job, but I worked at Hooters on Wells.
I applied for Hooters back in Bloomington, mm-hmm. and the only reason I didn't work is because I moved to St. Louis.
And people always ask me if I had to like give them my measurements or show them how I looked, and I was wearing a J. Crew raincoat. I had actually been applying for a job at Ed DeBevick's. I thought that would be a good place for me to work because I was a comic and I could improvise. And they did not hire me. So I went across the street and I'm like, well, I want to get a job that's near downtown where all the auditions are and the comedy club improv is down the street. And they hired. And I made good money. On some Friday nights, bartending especially, you can make $200-$250. Oh, yeah.
Who did you make? You get a lot of consistent customers.
Yeah,
I think my biggest uncomfortability with it was, at least at the restaurant that I had applied for, they were very, very, very on the women about their appearance. Like, almost abnormally. And they, they go for is this, like, Cali girl look, right?
Yeah, because you had to wear, the pantyhose had to be,
the pantyhose, your hair has to be a certain way, your makeup has to be a certain way, so on and so forth. And we had the hardest time when I went to go, you know, you do the fitting for the uniform. And I had these.
I didn't have to do a fitting.
Oh, they made us do a fitting.
Things were different.
They made us do a fitting.
So you're, and they didn't, did they not like your hair?
Oh, no, it's not Cali enough. It either has to be straight or, like, yeah, it was really just that. It needs to be straight. Like, he
suggested a weird thing. You have great hair. I mean, this is crazy.
Well, yeah. And the thing about a Cali girl is that, and that was what they wanted, the healthy sunshine. They want blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah.
And you and I did not necessarily fit the, that. I was, I know this is surprising to a lot of people, but I was suspended at Hooters.
Not at all.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah, for making, because I was also doing open mics and I was making jokes about my job at Hooters and about, because do they still have the pouch for the, you know, putting, so it hangs right down the middle of your legs. So it's like, it's like, why? We're already wearing the shortest shorts possible. I didn't wear the tank tops. I wore the t-shirt where it tied at the waist. And
oh, we didn't even get that option.
The joke that I, you didn't get that option?
No,
we had long, there were three types. There was the long sleeve shirt you had to tie at the waist, the t-shirt you had to tie at the waist, or the tank top. Now I think they switched to just all the tank tops.
Yeah, it's like you got a black one, a white one, and a special occasion one. That was it.
Yeah.
All tank tops.
So I was suspended because I was making jokes about I was making jokes about Hooters, and one of the jokes was about, gosh, it's so funny I remember this. It was there were these three grad students, and granola eating, Birkenstock wearing, you know, flannel shirts, were sitting in my table, and they were arguing about what kind of beer to order, and they were like, I don't know, we can't order Coors because they take advantage of women.
Hooters.
I was like, yeah. And minorities. And I was like, hi, I'm Patty Vasquez. Can I take your order in this very tight shirt? And the other was this guy, this older guy, was sitting at the table. And I came over and he goes, what does your dad think about you working at Hooters? And I go, I don't know. He's down at the strip club asking your daughter the same question.
Oh, like, oh, well played, Patty.
Well played. That was one of the.
Good my, for you, though. Good for you.
Yeah.
Here's my thing, because at that time, and I'll just say this and make it quick. I think my biggest issue with people who have problem with Hooters is that it's okay for a young girl to literally walk down the street in the exact same outfit. Nobody will bother her. She's not this big whore. Like, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment you throw money in, it's like, oh, prostitution.
I will tell you the reason what made me decide to get that job was I was bartending at a place called Grizzly's Lodge on Lincoln Avenue, and I had to wear a lumberjack shirt and black slacks, and since then other things have happened, but up until then I had never been so sexually harassed in my entire life as I was wearing a flannel shirt and black slacks and not making enough money to put up with it. And I was like, you know what, if I'm going to be treated like this, I may as well just go and make more money. And you know what, I was treated more respectfully by customers. I mean, just those are the two examples I'm giving you. I never had anybody talk to me the way they did at Grizzly's Lodge.
I think so, y'all have that.
I'm just saying.
But kind of bringing it back though, guys, be careful. Like, when you're dealing with the service people, servers or your waitresses, waiters, you don't know what they're going through.